What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to Real Pod. Today's guest is the vibrant, intelligent, and insightful Sophie Flay. Sophie is an accomplished journalist who currently works as a reporter for ABC7 Los Angeles, covering stories of impact and influence throughout the greater Los Angeles cities. She also starred in popular Food Network show The Flay List alongside her dad, Bobby, and she has appeared on The Rachel Ray Show. Sophie is not only incredibly hardworking and driven, but, and I learned this through sitting down with her, she is also just an awesome human being and so very personable. Sophie shares so much with us today about her transition from college into the working world, why she loves being a journalist, the things that she learned about herself through her family and therapy, and also how Sophie handles that inner voice we all have that strives for perfection. I hope you enjoy this candid conversation I had with Sophie. I felt like we clicked instantly, and not only do we learn about Sophie, but her and I just sort of talk about these common topics, insecurities, and I think conversations that so many of us experience. So I hope you guys can feel related to, informed, and maybe take something away from this episode. So let's get to it, and I hope you enjoy Sophie Flay.
I was actually hyped because you have a, like, a reporter voice.
Oh, do I really?
Well, just very smooth and articulate.
Okay.
Usually great on a podcast.
Oh, great. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, welcome to your first one ever.
Thanks.
How do you feel?
I'm a little nervous, but I kind of love our chemistry already.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited.
I know, like, are we on a date? Like, what?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. So do you usually wake up this early? Because it's, for people listening, it's 6:59 in the morning.
Okay, so I do wake up this early. I wake up at 6 every morning. I'm not a morning person. I'm really trying hard to train myself to be. Mm-hmm. I wake up at 6. I turn the news on so that I can kind of get right into the news cycle, see what's happening that day. I turn on local news, ABC7, plug. and then, you know, I try to start going through my emails around 7. I'm usually on the clock around 8. Obviously, that can change if there's breaking news or something happening in my area that happens earlier in the day, early in the morning, earlier in the night. But yeah, I start my day at around 6:15.
I'm so inspired right now. Literally. How do you do it then? I'm not a morning person either.
Okay, so I really wanted to be a morning workout person, and I tried that, and I literally hated it. Like, it was, like, the worst thing that could have ever happened to me, trying to work out in the morning. And I was like, you know what? This sucks. I'm not going to keep doing this. So I was like, if I'm going to try to train myself to be a morning person, I'm going to stay in bed, stay nice and cozy, and just turn the news on and try to up a little
bit
more.
So we're still in those morning
stages. We're in bed. We're so in bed until 7.
That's funny.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. So you have a pretty cool job for being a new journalist out of school. When did you realize you wanted to report?
So we both went to USC, journalism, Annenberg, fighting on.
And we have a lot of mutual friends.
So many mutual friends.
From Greek life.
Yeah.
Did you like Greek life?
I did like Greek life. Okay. Yeah. I liked having a group of girls that I could trust. That was really important to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, most people don't find that from Greek life.
I was really fortunate, and I found that basically as soon as I got there.
Oh, yay.
And so that was really important to me. But what was your question?
Sorry. Well, I'm happy for you.
thanks.
My question was, when did you want to report?
Oh, so when I was a senior in high school, I did the morning news show that we had there that we only did, like, every Friday, mm-hmm. but I did it with my best guy friend. And, you know, I really like this. And I was trying to decide when I was applying to schools if I was going to apply to be an acting major or a journalism major, because I knew I liked storytelling, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do in terms of that. And then as I was doing that show, and I always liked writing, I was like, you know what, I feel like, and I was always really interested in the news cycle. I grew up watching morning news every morning with my mom. Like, even sometimes she would let me stay like a little bit later and drive me to school so I could watch something that I really wanted to watch on the, you know, Good Morning America or the Today Show, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I really found it inspiring that when I got to USC and I ended up applying to be a journalism major. And when I got to USC, I realized how important the truth was. I went through kind of like a public thing in my family that was really hard for us. And I realized how important the truth was because our truth wasn't out there. Telling the truth and allowing other people to tell their truth is really, really important. And that kind of woke me up to, wow, the job of a journalist is so honorable. And even to be that middleman to allow someone to tell their truth and get their truth out there, what an honor. And so that has always reigned very important to me and part of the reason why I really stuck with it because, you know, acting's fun. Being a creative is really fun, but I would much rather do what I do today, which is be a community journalist reporter for ABC7.
And it's great that you listened to your heart and what was going to bring you purpose and you had a personal connection to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people who are in high school and they're on that fence of, do I do this and that? It maybe it's for the wrong reasons. Like, is this going to bring me that? Or am I going to be able to say I'm this?
Yeah.
Not, and they're not paying attention to what they have a personal connection to. Mm-hmm. And I think that will make you a more passionate journalist all around. Like, even in a little story with a woman or a family in a small city, you'll want to do the best job you can do.
Right, definitely.
So I know you mentioned me this briefly, but grades were always...
Oh my God.
On your radar.
Oh my God.
As they are for many these days.
Yeah. It's something I've struggled with my whole life.
Specifically just grades? Or is it like this thing of this notion of achieving?
Definitely both. I am still trying to prove to myself every day that I deserve to be where I am. And that really, I think, stems from grades. I remember being in the third grade and being in a group with people that weren't as fast of readers as another group that you like, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in school, you start to pick up on some things as you get a little bit older, like, oh, hey, I can totally tell that I'm in the group with people who are not fast readers. and you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm still not a fast reader,
yeah.
but it was discouraging. Like I would pick up on small things like that. And I always needed extra help. And I always went in for office hours, whether it was in the second grade or a senior in college, mm-hmm. I was never the person that just like got it, you
naturally.
Know, like not a natural test taker.
Me either. I didn't get it naturally, but I also didn't go into office hours. So, bummer.
Listen. you know, because I wanted it. I wanted to prove that I deserved to be in these classes. In high school, I wanted to prove that I deserved to be in APs. And it took a lot of work because I needed to prove, I guess I felt like I needed to prove to other people that I deserved to be in the room. And I still feel that way sometimes today. But really, as I've gotten older, it's something that I'm just doing. I'm competing with myself. It's something I'm trying to prove to myself. It's not even I don't even need the other people half the time. Cause when I get the recognitions that I think I want, I'm like, whatever, like it should be about you. You should be proving it to yourself, not other people.
Have you ever had a moment where you really truly felt good enough to be wherever you were? Like when you get your ABC7 job, is your immediate reaction, I deserve this? And then 10 minutes later, these anxious thoughts come.
Yeah. I mean, that's tricky. I worked really hard to get my job. I interned for 8 months there. I turned down a job in Kentucky. I took a risk because I had never interned in local news, and I was really interested in trying it out because I just hadn't had the experience. And, you know, my parents were kind of like, taking an internship over a job, you just graduated,
yeah.
like, are you sure? And I was like, you know what, I feel like I could have an opportunity here. And that was one of the times where I really believed in my skill set.
Mm.
And which is interesting because it might seem like taking an internship over a job, why would
right.
you do that?
It seems like your whole high school, you would have been someone to take the job
right.
just to say it.
Right, exactly. Just to post it like on Facebook or something, right?
Facebook, hey, girl, Instagram. I'm sorry, are we 70?
Literally, what's wrong with me? But it was weird. Like, that was the first time I felt really confident in my skill set and was like, I think that I can make something out of this. And I'm so happy to be where I am today and that I trusted myself, you know, like... It can be hard when you graduate and you see all these people with jobs that you want or something, you want something similar. And you're like, why am I a loser? Why can't I get this job? I feel literally like a loser. And that's how I felt originally. I was so depressed when I graduated school. I just couldn't get the job that I wanted.
It's a hard transition.
Yeah, it is.
I'm literally in the thick of it right now. And I actually went to dinner last night with one of my good friends just to like, she's going through stuff. I'm going through stuff. I'm like, let's just get some food, Italian, yes. Comfort.
Pasta, and, baby.
And yeah. And we just like talked and I just feel like so much change. Mm. And I don't know if you feel like maybe things are better for you now that you're more set in it. But like my friends are in different places. I'm not playing the sport that I always used to play. Mm. I'm just like not as happy as I thought I would maybe be.
Really? You're not there yet.
Well, yeah, I'm not 100% there. Like it's weird. Like I have this, I'm always like, but I should be. And I look at like the things, right? But actually what my friend said was so great. She was just like, it's okay to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be okay with being unhappy because the more you wake up every single day, like despising the way you naturally want to feel, it's just going to make it worse. The sooner you can say, you know what, I'm unhappy for a little bit right now. And it makes sense. ABC is different. And maybe in a week, I'll feel better. And right. I was like, damn, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so I woke up this morning, like, this is okay.
Yeah, you know, we're so used to instant gratification yes. now. We're just trained that way that it makes sense. And to hit like a rock bottom, which, by the way, you haven't hit, you would know if it was worse. You're doing pretty well for yourself. I'll say
Thank
that.
Thank you. I think I hit rock bottom before my come up, which was like okay. sophomore year of college.
Well, hey, everyone's got to hit
them.
I was
like, screw this rock bottom. I'm exposing your ass to the world right now. And like the exposure just it went somewhere.
Perfect. Yeah, it's true. No one talks about how, you know, it's okay to be... Oh, sorry, that's my laundry machine.
It's all good. I'm glad that I have one that makes noise, too.
Okay.
I'm like, Mom, why do you have a laundry that sings to you? She's like, I think it's kind of cute.
That's so adorable. But yeah, no one tells you when you graduate, like, how unhappy you're going to be.
Yes.
If you don't have a job set up, or even if you do have a job set up, you're like, oh, my God, my life has totally changed. It went from being so structured and... I basically knew what I was going to do every day for 4 years to now, like, anything
yes.
could happen.
Well, so much freedom. Like,
yeah.
I mean, just the freedom most people have in college to just dictate their schedule and choose their classes
yeah.
and drop a class if they don't like it. And the people they hang out with, they get to choose. Whereas when you're working, it's like, you know, you get your colleagues or mm-hmm. you get your hours and you sign your contract. You can't just, like... jump ship.
Right. You can't just sleep through 8 a.m. Like,
yeah.
that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
But it's true. No one tells you that. And I was actually listening. My friend Sophia Stallone, she just put out like a 20 questions and someone was like, how's life after college? And she was like, honestly, it's really hard. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, no one talks about it. Like, that's the first time I kind of heard someone be like, this was a hard transition and
yes.
it's okay. But I wish... that was a regular conversation that we had.
What has been, like, the hardest thing? Because I know it's, like, friends are all scattered across mm-hmm. the place. I'm
yeah.
actually working. I maybe look... Now I'm saving money, and I'm looking at how everything's working financially.
Financially, definitely, it's something that I focus on and try to keep in mind constantly. You know, saving is hard but important,
mm-hmm.
and... navigating that whole decision of how you're going to save and what you're going to save has been really interesting. But I think one of the hardest things is being alone.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I have a roommate and she's the best ever, but being alone is really hard for me.
Yeah.
And being okay with being alone.
That, like, just hit me to my core.
Yeah. We're getting very deep here.
Yeah, I mean, it's real pod. I mean,
right.
We're like delirious, honestly.
We might be. We might be totally crazy.
I know.
You might have to delete this.
I'm definitely delirious and like I'm guiding this thing. So we're headed to an iceberg.
But being alone is hard. And I've always been the type of person that, like, likes to go to dinner by themselves or, like, likes to spend – have a long time. But to be alone all the time is a little scary, you know? And so adapting to that – because when you're at school, you live with, 20,000 of your best friends. Like, that makes it easy to never be alone.
All the time. Yeah, I love to go to Campus Center and eat lunch by myself. It was, like, my favorite thing to just people watch and watch people interact. And now I'm just, I don't crave alone time. I mean, especially I think in anyone's job, it's easy to feel alone because you were working on like your own projects with your name tied to them. You don't have collaborations. Like I wish, I crave like walking into like a classroom or like a project where I have like 10 people who are doing the same thing as me. Like in school, you have people on the same assignments, the same papers, the same schedule. And then now everyone has different things. And then it's also, we feel alone. It's harder to keep in contact with our friends because they also have crazy busy schedules that are different than ours.
Maintaining relationships is really hard too.
And you really find out who your people are.
Oh, immediately. Immediately. You do, definitely. And by the way, that's a good thing. Like, you know, you don't want to cut people out of your life, but to know who your like true friends are and who you really want to see and who really wants to see you is really important. It's an important part of the process.
Yeah, I know. And that's been like hard for me.
Just really?
Why? Well, because I, because the people don't really want to, not that they don't want to see me, but it's just like, I can't tell if it's this, you know, oh, we're both so busy, it's going to happen eventually. Or if it's like, dude, I've literally asked you four times. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. That's been hard in the sense of I'm like, it's like, you don't want to be petty and be like, okay, I've asked you this many times, like, I'm not going to ask again. But then it's also like, it's so hard over text to gauge something.
I'm a big FaceTimer.
Yeah, I love FaceTime too. But it's also hard when you don't – sometimes if in the middle of the day, like, people can't pick up a FaceTime.
They're at work.
But definitely. I mean, you realize, like, who does want to make the offer and who doesn't. Like, I'm so excited. Well, and all of – a lot of my best friends have moved away. So it's like this weekend I'll be in San Francisco hanging out with all of my really close friends. I'm, like, so excited for that. But then I'm sure leaving is going to be, like, tough. You feel double alone.
Would you ever move there?
It just doesn't have what I need for the career I want to build. I mean, just, for example, I'm in Los Angeles. Like, I wanted to work with you. You live here. You know? So it's just a lot of the people I want to collaborate with or the things I want to do are just in Los Angeles. And I don't know. I joke because my boyfriend's moving back across the country to be here. And we've been on long distance forever, but a big reason is like, I'm obviously here, but his friends are here and his family's over this way. And I was like, how funny would it be if like you moved here? And I was like, I actually want to go San Fran.
My God, like, that'd be so brutal.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I come, we ball out. I'm like, okay. But
are you guys going to move in together?
No. Okay. So this is actually a great topic. I'd love your opinion on this.
Okay.
So I grew up in a family. It was just very traditional in the sense of marital customs. My mom did not live with my dad until they were married. And my mom's rent was up like 3 months before the wedding. And like, she literally moved back home, even with the wedding 3 months away. And then my mom's mom, very religious, traditional. And she, same thing, didn't move in until the wedding. And then her mom, what was an arranged marriage off the boat from Greece. Like, just, and I don't know, I just grew up hearing this and I thought it was very sweet. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Me too.
Like, I have literally been dreaming of my freaking soulmate since I was like three. I like came out the womb, like on the hunt. No, literally, but like for love, not like some, some stupid guy. And so I don't know. I just have this idea of like, you get married and then our toothbrushes are finally in the same bathroom together.
Oh my God, you are so cute.
I don't know. Like, that's just how I've imagined it. And then but here's my thing. Like, I was lucky enough to meet Max at a time where we basically got to experience like what it would be like to live together. Like, it's college. I mean, you have sleepovers, you see each other a lot. So I knew what it was like to, I saw him live with his friends. Like, I saw it. If I was meeting someone at 24 or 25 or whatever, I would probably want to live with them. I mean, just because, not that they're a stranger, but you don't go to school with them. You don't know all their friends really. You don't know their family really well. Like, are they a sociopath? I don't know. So in that scenario, I could see it being different.
Yep.
I got lucky that, like, the person I want to be with, it aligned with what I wanted.
Yeah.
But obviously now that I'm currently living at home to save money, like, fresh out of school, it's been, I don't know, 6 months. So hopefully I'll move out soon. But it's like, I think, I'm going to move out and move in with a friend when my boyfriend lives here. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So still figuring it out, but that's just how I feel. What about you?
Yeah. What about me?
Like, what do you think about living with before the ring exchange?
Oh, you know, I come from a family of divorce, so we're not very traditional in my household.
You're like, that is stupid.
No, I mean, I think this is a really interesting time for dating. I think it was Emma Watson who came out and said that she's self-partnered now. Did you see that?
Okay, yes.
So, you
I
know,
did see that.
And obviously, she is...
I would be self-partnered if I was her.
By the way, she's an amazing role model. And it's just the dating right now is just very interesting to me. It's like one of my favorite topics. I'm fascinated by dating and love and relationships, especially for our generation right now, because it's so
it's weird with the dating
crazy.
Apps and the
dating apps and the hookup
DMs,
culture and DMing and
it is such a hookup culture. There's just not enough like boyfriend girlfriend. That almost is like a freaking proposal at this age. You know,
be my girlfriend or boyfriend?
I know.
Maybe, yeah.
Literally, it's like such a... I'm like, it's literally just words. I mean, you could end the words at any point. You were telling me this a little bit before, but you are single right now, but it's new.
Yeah.
It's
well, it's... You know, I've been single for about 5-ish months. And I love companionship. I'm obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. I like being in relationships. And I'm in a place right now where I'm not looking to be in one, which... You know, I won't pass up a good thing if it comes, for sure. I'm not, you know, I don't want to knock a good thing. But, yeah, I haven't been in a relationship. I've always been in relationships, and this is the first time, this is the longest time I've not been in a relationship. So it's a little weird for me because I'm trying to figure myself out.
So many people can relate to that. I mean, I'm sure someone listening's like, me too. And
yeah.
They're really single. Like,
yeah. It's been a really interesting journey for me because being alone, I'm afraid of the dark. So always have been.
That's
always
okay.
have been. That's something you have to know
still?
About me. Yeah.
So did you see the lights on?
Out here, yeah. The lights were on out here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
not
my gosh.
In my room, but outside, the lights are on. And I think that comes with, like, I'm afraid to be alone a little bit, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? And which is... funny because I've always been like a very confident person, but always been afraid to be alone. So learning how to be alone with myself all day, every day. I also work from home, is scary. And I'm finally in a place now where I'm really happy being alone and just being with my thoughts and coming home and just like doing whatever I want or seeing whoever I want. And so that's been a great experience for me.
Do you feel like because you come from a family who's experienced divorce that you are even more selective in choosing people you want to spend time with?
You know, I've always been selective. You know, the relationships I've been in, they've been like at least a year. Like, You're in it. If you're with me, you're in it, baby. I mean, who knows
I will
what can
not
happen,
let you
but...
leave. Having some wedding pressure, but I find you.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
No, I mean, I like companionship. I like being with someone. I like to get to know someone and really build trust. And so I'm definitely selective, but you know, like I'm also in this phase now where I'm going on dates with people, you know, which I've never just like gone on dates with people. No one's ever asked me like on a real date.
You're like, I fall deep into love.
Yeah, I'm like, watch out. No.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I'm not feeling like the first person I go on a date with, I want to be in a relationship with, you know, it's like, I'm getting to know people. I'm experiencing like casual dating for the first time, like just going to get a drink, just going to get dinner, like getting to know someone and then like not feeling like, and also we don't all live in the same area. So it's not like I could run into you. Like I'm not seeing these people when I'm going to the grocery store.
My ability to ghost you, be threatened by it.
So it's been a cool period for me to really get comfortable with myself, get to know myself and figure out what I really want and work hard at work.
Yeah. It's a good time to focus on your career for sure.
Absolutely.
Do you believe in that saying or whatever it is that's like before you meet the person you're going to be with before you're like 20 or something?
I have heard that, and
my friend heard that recently. She's like going through like her list of whatever on
all
her
the,
phone.
All the men. Yeah.
She's like, it can't be any of these.
None of these people. I think that's totally possible, but yeah. I don't know. I think also coming from a family with divorce and divorced parents and that sort of thing, I'm also skeptical of something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like,
yeah.
Who knows? I can meet someone in like 2 years and be like, I'm in love with you.
Yes. And like what you were saying, it's just so different now. Marriage is happening so much later and later and later in life.
Right.
Because I really do think, I mean, I don't believe we have like one, I think I said soulmate before, but I don't think we have a soulmate.
Okay.
Like do you believe we do?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I get along with a lot of people, is what I'm realizing. And
I think,
I feel like there's a lot of different paths you can go down.
Yeah. There's definitely like, I think 4 or 5 people in our life. Like if we met them at different times, like we could probably make a life work with them.
Right. Right.
Like if I grew up in, South Africa, like I don't think I would have never found anyone because I was like supposed to find Max, but I do think when you do find
sorry Max,
no but like he agrees with me when you, because we talked about this before, but because when you do find, but now that I'm with him, I'm so great, like I can't imagine the other 5, but also as like a normal person, I do not believe like we all have one.
You're like, oh my God, there's millions of other people out there.
Yeah, there are. And it's just like the same way we love our best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there are just personalities and people you're going to connect with. And so I also think too, like this idealized Prince Charming and like this Princess Happy Ever After isn't real. And I think I really realized that. I'll never forget this. I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast. I was, crying. Yep, I'm crying.
Okay.
This is
just to set the scene.
Yeah, just to set the scene. This is my sophomore year of school, and I'm a volleyball team at USC, and it was just like really stressful, and this is a lot. Like I went through depression. A lot of people who follow me know that, and I had just started dating Max, and like I thought he was an angel, and I still do. Mm-hmm. So when we started dating, I was like this. Like I just knew like this is the guy for me. But I remember like a few months in, I was just crying about this and that, and I was like, and I was alone, and I was like looking in the mirror and thinking, oh my God, like I have the guy, like the quote unquote guy, and I still feel this way. And it just made me realize like that's this idea that you meet someone and all your problems are gone and you're happy forever. Like that's not true.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have your own things you still need to work with. No one's going to complete you.
No.
You have to be the person that is going to do it for yourself. And so
right.
I remember at that moment I was like, shit.
Yeah, you're the only person that can make yourself truly happy.
Yeah.
And it's the same way, I think, in work, too. Like, you're the only one that's going to, you know, you can have amazing mentors and people that do want to help you. But at the end of the day, you're the only person that's really going to help you. So you have to put in the work to be where you want to be.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's so many people out there. Of course, you could meet someone, meet so many different types of people that mm-hmm. you could probably build a great life with. I mean, there's a lot of great people out there.
Yeah, it's something I definitely believe. And my really close friends are like all single. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's people that of course I'm like, you would be great with these people. And like, they don't like them, but we can see it. You know,
that's right. Setups are hard.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have not set them up.
Okay.
I haven't. I'm almost like, I'm like, no one's worthy.
By the way, good mentality to have.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Okay. What allows you to be so vulnerable on this podcast? Because when I'm listening to you talk and, you know, I would be, obviously you probably had conversations with Max before you started this and whatnot, but like, I would be so nervous to like, just like freely talk about my boyfriend or anyone to like hurt their feelings or to have them take it the wrong way. Like what makes you be able to be so vulnerable on this podcast?
In specific to like me talking about Max?
No.
Just in general?
Yeah, in general.
Well, first off, I would just say I was so affected by like quote unquote fake content. Mm. I guess like as a freshman at USC, just seeing perfect images, perfect lifestyles. And like, I really wanted to have that. And at that time, like I didn't see or hear the things that made me feel validated in what I was going through. And so I remember I just had this epiphany, like I deleted Instagram for like 2 months. I was like, this is so stupid. Mm. And cause I realized like I'm someone that I'm a USC volleyball player. I'm in Kappa. I got whatever. And I was still so unhappy. And so I was like, I'm just not going to pretend anymore. So that really inspired me to stop caring. And I think when I first started to just really be me, I definitely, it was weird. Like you can notice it on like my social medias. I went from like aesthetic to no aesthetic.
Yeah.
And of course, like I had less likes and less whatever, but then people started to actually like it. And I realized that I was actually being liked more for just being myself. So
what a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, but I would also rather like be myself and have people dislike me. But that's an aspect. I also just really believe like everybody has cried themselves to sleep. Mm-hmm. Everybody. So I know that the things we've already been saying today, people are like, yes, 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 right. That is me. And that's sort of my goal with these conversations is having them centered around these topics that we all talk about with our best friends, mm-hmm. with our parents. Here's something too. We connect with people about our shortcomings and our flaws.
Right.
It's really hard for people to connect with someone who's achieved great things. I mean, you can't connect. Like I just had on an Olympian. Few people could connect with her on this feeling of winning a silver medal,
right.
You know,
right.
But thousands and thousands of people can connect with her on this feeling of being not good enough, which mm-hmm. is how she felt after she won silver. Mm. And so that's why like, I
can
love
you imagine?
Those conversations.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And then about the Max thing, I mean, I just feel really poor Max. I feel really confident in what we've talked about in our foundation that for me to say something, like I know if he would be okay with me saying that and whatnot. If anything, he just thinks I'm like a psycho.
No, but I think it's great to be able to have that freedom to do this podcast the way you want to do it without kind of like hesitating or, you know, worrying about maybe making someone upset or judging you or
right.
Or
and
whatnot.
I've had people be like, oh, I want to come on the podcast. And I'm like, that's great. Like, what would you want to share?
Right.
And then that's when they're like, oh, no response, you know.
Mm.
But you seem really open.
You know, I
can tell you're thinking a little bit about it, but you're still open. I mean, you've said some really vulnerable things.
Yeah, you know, I've been to therapy. So, I have definitely been, I've constantly worked on myself. I started going to therapy when I was in high school and I needed it for various things. You know, friendships and relationships with parents and, you know, like you're like an annoying teenager and you feel like no one gets you or you feel trapped. And I was really lucky to have my dad kind of introduce me to therapy when I was younger because I was the type of person that was like, screw this. Like, I don't need therapy.
That's
like,
great to have a male figure introduce it, especially because you're
great.
Looking to him for strength and protection.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think that when he kind of opened up to me about how he was like open to going to therapy, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll try it. And I was so... When I remember going the first time, I walked up there and I was like so mad. I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, this is so dumb. Like, what a waste of my time. And I came out sobbing and I have never felt like the relief that I had just like sobbing, you know, in like a good way and a bad way. Like,
right.
You know, I was emotional.
All of these things you've been burying are coming out.
Right. And to be able to just talk to someone freely with no bias that knows nothing about me other than what I want her to know and what I told her and what she's managed to kind of pull out of me a little bit. God, it was so, so freeing. And I'm such a big advocate for going to therapy with anything, like whether it's a relationship, work, friendships, or just like you feel stuck and you need to talk to someone. Like, you know, sometimes I go through phases where I'm like, I can't focus on anything. And even I was a runner when I was in high school growing up and I just recently got back into running and that was like going to be an outlet for me and it was great. But then, you know, I would go through phases where I wouldn't even like realize I was running basically because I was so stressed out about things. And I was like, you know what, this is a sign that I need to go back to therapy and go talk to someone for even like one session. Like
it was a coping mechanism, just run.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when I realized that it wasn't working, I was like, oh my God, I am totally out of whack. I need to go talk to someone.
Can you remember one of like the biggest things you learned about yourself in therapy?
One relationship that I worked on in that therapy session, in one of my therapy sessions, helped me realize that it was about the way that I had been, the way that I was being treated by that person that I had, that I was like kind of talking about, that I didn't like. It was something that they were dealing with that they were just kind of projecting on me, and mm-hmm. it wasn't my fault. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't the root cause. And to be able to take a step back and realize I can approach this relationship differently because I feel victimized, but I'm not really the, I'm not really the victim. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I'm the one that maybe is getting the brunt of it, but it's not because of me. It's because of something else that this person is dealing with. And if I take a step back and approach it that way, then I'm so much happier.
Yes, rather than feeling like you are the person that has caused them this.
Yeah.
You can identify they're actually hitting their emotions.
They're going through something else. Right. And the way that, the reason that I'm getting kind of, I'm getting a little bit targeted is because of something else that has to do with them that I wasn't even there for. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if, like, being able to take a step back and approach a relationship differently was the best thing that could have happened to me in a therapy session.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And then you leave like,
Oh my God.
They call you and you're like, hey.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
Oh, you're angry? Okay.
Right. All of a sudden, I feel like a genius. Meanwhile, it's my yeah. therapist. You know what I mean?
Yes. I need to go back. I went all the time during school because of just college and sports.
Yeah.
And then I stopped going because I actually felt like I had a great similar. I had kind of like, oh, I got this.
You know? Right, right.
All the therapist was like, okay, see you in a few months. Like, shuts the door. And it was great. And then I get into the real world and I started to realize my mental health is like really not in a good spot. And I went back and but I had to go to a different person because I like can't go back to college and get my free therapy. You know, the perks are gone.
Right.
And I don't know. It was like, it was one of the not as great experiences that I've ever had because I felt like I talked the majority of the time. And like, I know it's hard for me to let things go. And I also walked in like, I'm going to just tell you everything so that we can just start working on this. And
right.
the time's up. And I feel like all I've done is speak about everything that's causing me pain. And I don't really get answers. Mm. So I felt almost lower that next like whole week. Like I was even worse than before. Yeah. Just because actually she helped me figure out one thing. I'll share this. It's
okay.
Fine. She helped me realize, so I mentioned before, a lot of my friends aren't here. So I don't have like a thriving social life. Like I have a big work life. Like I'm traveling all the time. I do work, but I can't, like, I've never had a dinner with four girlfriends and we go out in like West Hollywood and like we're on the prowl. Like,
oh my God. Let's do that.
Okay.
Oh.
That would be great.
Okay, good.
I love that. Like women supporting women people. And so that had been something that was really different for me. I've always had a group. I've always felt liked. I've always felt accepted by friends socially. So when work first started, I didn't have that. And I didn't really notice. But other thing I was doing was like working all the time.
Mm.
Like I wake up at 8. 8's my time. I should move it to 6, but 8's my time. And then I start working definitely by 9. And then I would work until like 6. And then I would take a break. Then I would come back and I would do another 2 hours of like editing a video or editing a podcast or emailing. And I would just work all the time. And like, I was like so hyped. I'm working so hard. This is all going to pay off. I'm so driven. I'm so motivated. And then she helps me realize, you know, I'm just doing all of this work to not have any time to sit and think about the fact that I don't have the social life I want to have. And I was like,
right.
Damn. I was like, that is so true. But then I go home and I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to work because my bubble has been popped and I realize that I don't actually like, I'm not some amazing, like indestructible worker.
You're a little burnt out.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. But if I don't work, I'm just going to sit here and think about how I have nothing else to do. So that week was just brutal because the work, I was like, I'm working to cope. And if I don't work, I just have to think about how this social situation I'm in right now, like, isn't ideal.
Yeah.
So that was definitely hard for me. But I think, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, like, it's okay to be unhappy. I think it's okay right now. Like, I know I have those great friends. Just because we're not all in the same place is a bummer. But there are sacrifices. Like, I have to sacrifice to be in a different city and to go for a dream that, like, not a lot of your people can relate to.
And being unhappy allows you to count your blessings too. Like to take a step back and admit like I'm not the happiest I've ever been right now or I'm depressed. You can take a step back and be like, but here are the amazing things I have in my life right now. and I have a great job and I have a great boyfriend,
yes.
You know, anything. And you're like, okay, you know what? Like, life's not that bad. But if you think you're going to be happy all the time, then you're wasting your time to an extent.
Yes. And I think you're brilliant just from our convo. And I think I want to hear your feedback on this topic.
Okay.
Have you heard of toxic positivity?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I heard Enlighten it literally me. 2 days ago. Okay. And like you just said it's, but you should identify like how you're really feeling. So there's this thing called toxic positivity, and it's when people, it would be like delusional positivity. Mm-hmm. So if someone, it's like, I don't even want to give an example because we're in such a world where everything's so PC. Like if I say like someone has, I don't know, I can't even say what
take,
I was going to joke
a second,
about saying.
Take a second.
Okay. Delusional positivity. So, which is toxic positivity. It would be like if someone's dog passes away and then your friend or someone was like, I'm so sorry, but hey, we can go to the shelter tomorrow and we're going to get another dog. Mm. Like, or, but you're going to, you can get another dog. Like, or just, where they're not acknowledging that like you need to mourn in
it's
some
like a,
capacity.
It's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah. It's like, imagine that cookie cutter housewife that they find, out that of infidelity or and they're like, oh, it's okay. Like, we're still going to take a Christmas card picture today because we've had it planned for 3:00.
Mm.
Like, just that. Like, that I refuse. Like, it's just positivity.
Yeah.
And I think we are convinced, based on social media, that that is normal positive. Like, it's not toxic positivity. We think we're supposed to have it. So, I think I'm supposed to be happy all the time. We see these motivational speakers, these quotes, these videos, and it makes me think I should be happy-go-lucky every single day.
Right.
And so, when I'm not happy-go-lucky every single day, I'm really distraught over why I'm not.
Right.
Because we don't see this ideal. Like, I think happiness is also living with the sad emotions and the hard times. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. mourning anything is important. People mourn in different ways, but, you know, that's why there are, like, the stages of mourning and stages of grief and that sort of thing. Because taking those steps are important. You know, sometimes people, you know, if like a family member passes away or a friend passes away, they wait and they don't grieve until like maybe a month later or like 2 weeks later, you know, like everyone does it differently, but it's important to allow yourself to be, I don't want to say like you should be unhappy, but like, it's important to allow yourself to have time to kind of hit, like we said, like a rock bottom, because motivation and, being able to recognize the things you're grateful for and that sort of thing can only bring you back up.
Yes.
So you have to, like,
and identifying the people who are toxically positive, like, cheer up. It's
sure,
gonna be great.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and sometimes those people are great to have around when you break up with a guy and you're just like, I don't want to think about him. And they're
right.
Like, great, let's go find a new one. You know, not that I would recommend that, but,
that's true.
But you know, sometimes you need people, if you have friends like that, you know, the best time to utilize their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic positivity, nothing but the word toxic is good.
That's so true. Okay. Well, this has just been thrilling. I want to ask you I want to kind of get back to your career. I feel I've enjoyed our delve though.
Yeah,
it's
me
a very
too.
Natural conversation.
Definitely.
Being on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pressure. I was a journalist at USC as well. I did a sports SC sports scene.
Yeah, I remember.
I was a correspondent.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Because it was a hit. No, I'm kidding. I was in for like...
because you went viral.
I was in for 2 minutes.
But I do remember.
And I struggled so hard to even get my segment done. And then I looked at like, Lauren was one of our anchors at the time, who had prepared 30 minutes of news content. I was like, oh my God, I can't even do a 2-minute segment. Just coming from practice, I felt like my hair had to be good. I had to put on makeup. Like, I had to look presentable. Have you felt pressure, or has that been on your radar, or do you just... Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think that luckily we're moving in a path of body positivity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. Obviously, we still have so far to go. But, you know, you'll see women on like GMA who are more than happy to rock their natural hairstyle, and they're doing it and everyone supports them. And that wasn't always necessarily a thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're seeing different types of people. We're seeing diversity across the board. Like I said, we still have ways to go, but we're definitely moving in a right direction, especially in terms of on-camera personalities, journalists, reporters, anchors, what have you. But it's hard. I mean, being judge constantly. But I also, I'm a big believer in, not that I ever accept anyone being rude or trolling, or I think, you know, everyone should approach these things with kindness. And I think a lot of people behind their screens forget that even words can hurt, you know, and people want to hurt you. But oh my God, I just lost where I was going.
We were almost going to get into the trolling aspect, which I really want to talk about as well.
But, oh, you know, I'm kind of a big believer in the fact that, like, I chose to be a public person. Mm-hmm. If I thought I wasn't going to get any backlash or people that didn't like me, like, well, then I'm delusional. You know what I mean? Like, I chose to be 100%. And I chose that. You know, it's not like I was like, oh, all of a sudden I get to be on, oh, like I just fell into this on-camera position. Like, no, these are kind of hard to get.
Yeah. You know?
Like, they don't just come around. So I chose that. And I knew going into it. And I'm also grateful because I have a father who's been in the public eye for a long time. Mm-hmm. My mom was in the public eye for a little while too. You know, they know trolls. They know that people are going to try to knock you down and not everyone's going to be your biggest fan, but I knew that going into it. Mm-hmm. So you have to have, you gotta have thick skin.
Yeah, definitely. So have you ever experienced trolling and the online hating comments in relation to your reporting?
Yeah. Oh my God. I get trolls every day.
Really?
Messages in my inbox. Oh my God. It's, you know.
Saying what?
Like, you know, there's a lot of, in my community right now, there's a lot of gentrification going on happening overnight, and mm-hmm. people are really upset about it. And, you know, and I get it because these are their homes and this is where, you know, they see their places that they grew up in for, you know, 30, 40, 20, whatever years change, and they see some of these small businesses move out and they're really upset about it.
And because you are reporting maybe these... And because you're reporting these things, they attack you for it?
It's not even that. It's like sometimes I'll like I'll post a story about like a new restaurant or something that I did. Like Monty's Good Burger. It's a vegan burger chain. Really bomb. But I posted like a story about like their secret menu. And you know, I'll get trolls that'll be like, instead of posting about this, why don't you talk about the 60 people that were displaced from their homes because a developer came in and bought the space and now no one can live there. And those are the stories I'm looking to tell too. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of like trolling because they want to see, you know, like hard-hitting, tell the stories of our community, which are the stories that I'm also trying to tell. But, you know, you have to do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more so trolls in that sense and people who want to correct my knowledge of the story that I'm telling. Like there was a story that I did on this guy that created a text chain for the homeless, because it's a little known fact that a lot of homeless people actually have cell phones. And the text chain will send them notifications in our area within like a 3-mile radius of where they can get hot showers and hot mm-hmm. meals and or where they can do free laundry. And when I posted that story, I was getting a lot of trolls that were saying, like, that's not true. This is such a, like, a specific, like...
Only some homeless
people. Yeah, only, like, not the majority. And I had done a lot of research. And actually, there was a study that USC did about how, like, 94% of homeless people in a, you know, a sampled group of people, 94% of homeless people had cell phones. And because I have anxiety about grades and proving that I deserve to be there, research and getting things right is very important to me. So when someone tells me that I didn't do my research, I'm like, oh my God, I could scream, right?
Yeah.
So the way that I kind of battle that is, you know, like respond to me like, oh my God, like actually, you know what? According to the study, 94% of people homeless people have cell phones. How great is that? And then you link the article, mm-hmm. right? So dealing with trolls in the sense of like, I just want to prove that the research that I'm doing, the studying that I'm doing, is accurate, and the reports that I'm putting out are true and very research based.
But it can be really hard on your mental health if you work on something, put it out there, and then
Also, I'm young.
Yeah,
you know, like my age definitely makes me feel like, you know, sometimes, do I deserve to be there? Like, is mm-hmm. someone worried that I'm not, like, worthy enough to be there right now? Because, mm-hmm. you know, this is my first job. But I have an amazing support system, especially at work. So I'm really lucky.
It's also, like, it's ABC7. They would not be... there's no, like, they would not be putting someone in the position you're in if they did not think you would do an amazing job.
Well,
I mean, that's what someone told me at USC on the volleyball team. And I would have been like, I don't know. I think I snuck out on this court.
No, I mean, like I said, I worked hard to be where I am. And I know that. But yeah. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent about all these random tools.
I know, I do appreciate that, and that's good. I haven't experienced too many.
But also, you, in the same sense, but you're putting yourself out there publicly.
You know
publicly,
who's been, like, low-key my idol recently?
Oh, who?
Speaking of idols, well, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
Because I think a lot of people hate on her, and they say, like, she's too loud. Kelly's so obnoxious. She talks too much. Mm. She's not that funny. Like, people hate on Kelly. They hate on Kelly. And at first, I listened to it. Like, I wasn't, like, I didn't feel a certain way. I was like, yeah, she's kind of, like, talks a lot, whatever. And then as I just saw her continue to just relentlessly be herself, and because I love the voice, that's my happy place. Like, and she has a talk show. She is loud. She is, like, quote-unquote obnoxious. She is outgoing. She does make jokes. I'm like, what a badass that you have, like, thousands of people telling you to be quiet and you're not this and that, and you just show up as your kind-hearted, loving self every single day, and that's what you do. Like, that has inspired me so much to just be myself, because we are happiest when we're our authentic selves.
Oh my God.
That's another reason why I'm so vulnerable, is like, I am happiest when I know I'm, like, living my truth. And that, seeing that in someone who, like, I watch their show and they receive all this hate and they're just, they don't even acknowledge. I mean, and people in Hollywood are like, Kelly Clarkson is just as amazing behind the scenes. I'm like, what a queen.
What a queen. Yeah. Yeah. She's crushing it. I feel like there's nothing she can't do now, you know?
Yeah. So that's someone that I definitely look up to. Do you have someone that maybe validates you in, like, your insecurities?
It's a lot of mentors that I've gotten throughout the years. I mean, I've been really lucky to have had some great internships. I interned at the Today Show. I interned for the Olympics twice. I went to Rio and I went to Pyeongchang, and then I worked at Warner Brothers for a hot second because I wanted to know if I was like, this is going to be my last chance to see if I want to be, like, in acting and TV, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, scripted, not non-scripted. But yeah, I mean, I have a ton of mentors that I really look up to that, you know, help me validate my writing and help me improve and that sort of thing. I'm trying to think about someone who's who's bigger someone who is like a Kelly Clarkson.
Well, yeah, but Kelly, it's not like I, like, have posters of her in my room. It's just, like, of recent.
You don't?
Yeah. Of recent, weird. I've been like, you're a badass.
Yeah.
Like, I've just puzzled the pieces together.
Yeah.
But similarly, like, I don't know, there's not someone I look to, like, I want to have their career. I feel like I'm trying to become something that I can't even really understand.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I also get the idea of, like, not having an idol or an icon. Have you seen that Matthew McConaughey acceptance speech at the Golden Globes where he was like, I'm chasing myself?
Yes, yes.
That is the motto. And I think you even said that in the beginning, like, you're competing with yourself.
Yeah, constantly.
Quote Cardi B.
Wait, I feel like there are people that I'm obsessed with that I
are blanking,
like,
on right now.
Yeah.
She's currently going to her who she's following.
I'm
on
literally
Instagram.
Looking to see
who
I follow on Instagram.
That's good that you know, like, your idols are in there, not, you know.
Oh, for sure. And you know who's crushing it right now and is really living their true, authentic self?
Wait, I want to guess.
Okay.
Give me
one. Went to USC.
Saweetie?
No.
I love someone who's that. Wait, I want to know. Wait, are they our age or older?
Older.
Shoot, are they, like, an A-lister?
I would consider her an A-lister.
Okay, tell me.
Katie Austin.
Oh, yeah. I love Katie.
I think she's crushing it.
Oh, you would consider her an A-lister?
I think
me
she's...
Too.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. I love her.
I just think that she is so real on social media and in such a healthy and productive way. And she's trying a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? And I think that she is really just absolutely crushing it.
I love Katie.
And a great role
model.
She's
been on the pod.
Oh, has she?
Yes.
Oh my God. Shout out Katie.
You should listen to her episode because it was so good. She was like my second.
I love her.
You guys, Katie Austin's amazing. Listen to her episode on Real Pod and follow her Instagram.
I scrolled by her and I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of her.
Speaking of Katie, literally I was on a trip a few days ago. I got to my hotel room and Katie and I really bond over, like, similar careers. And I FaceTimed her and I was like, I feel so lonely. Like, this is so hard. And she was like, I'm in my hotel room too. And she was like eating food. And she was like, I feel you.
yeah, I just scrolled by her and I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of her. She's doing such an amazing job. Oh, I can't wait to listen to her thing. Okay, well, I can't find it, but.
Well, this has been truly riveting. We're like hitting our time mark. Okay. So any last words, Sophie?
You know, thanks for having me on here. It's been such a fun conversation. And, you know, we really didn't know each other before this.
This is the first time we've ever met.
Literally, which is so funny.
I believe in soulmates now.
Right? But I think you're doing an amazing job with this podcast.
Thank
and I think
you.
It's really important, especially in today's climate. So
thank you. And thanks for coming on and sharing a little bit about your work, some of the things you've been through and dealt with, and then also just allowing us to have a great conversation and talk about some things I think really resonate with people. I'm already thinking about like how I can advertise it. Literally like grades, like trolls, like relationships, boyfriend, appearance, like so many things. Yeah.
Which I have none of, but.
Yeah. That's okay because we are
strong, independent women.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod with Victoria Garrick. If you loved Sophie, make sure you follow her on Instagram. It's at ABC7Sophie so you can keep up with all the amazing and cool things she's doing. She's so awesome. She's going to continue doing big things. So make sure you're following her and watching her journey and supporting her. Also, if you're interested in listening to the episode with Katie Austin, the mutual friend that Sophie and I were talking about, you can scroll all the way down. That was episode number 2. And that's also a great listen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in every Tuesday. I really appreciate it. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast so that you can be the first to listen and you don't miss an episode. I'm so grateful for your support. Make sure you leave a review, give it 5 stars, and I will see you guys back here next Tuesday.